Christian Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. We finally arrived at Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 and 16. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and you've not withheld your son, your only son." You remember that where we've stepped off is Abraham had offered his son Isaac, and God was pleased with that, of his obedience. And now God speaks to him a second time, and this conversation now says, "I will surely bless you." In other words, every promise that I've made to you is going to happen as you've journeyed with me. Because you've done that, and because you fulfilled and passed the test, and I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply. When the scripture says things twice, it actually is trying to communicate something. Remember, scripture was ancient writings. The ancient writings have a way, didn't have the apostrophes and the commas and the periods in those days. And so repetitive writing was necessary to indicate or italics or to highlight something, because they didn't have all those ways of communicating previously. Your offspring as the stars of the heaven and as the sand, the seas of the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of your enemy. Speaking of gates that Pastor Mark just spoke of, gates are indicative of protection, of keeping the coming in and going out of whatever is that you're faced with. Finally, it says, "And your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And the reason why is because you've obeyed my voice. The point of this entire section of scripture is it tells us the key to a successful journey. The life of Abraham, as we've read it, began in Genesis chapter 11. And now we're 11 chapters into this story. And the whole life is unfolding to us, and we're being shown by scripture that life is a journey. The Abraham that we're meeting today is not the same Abraham that we met in chapter 11. The Abraham we met in chapter 11 was fumbling, was unsure, committed sins, sold his wife, not once, twice, created an Ishmael and didn't listen to God. And yet in the midst of all of that, God says, "I will surely bless you." It is a message for all of us that in the midst of our mistakes and our failures, there's a moving on in God as long as we're ready to continue on the journey. And this gives us the one single key to success in journey, and that is obey God. And when Abraham did that, he found himself in success. Now, what's interesting is Genesis 22 in verse 20 shifts gears. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, it says, "Now, after these things, it was told to Abraham." We don't know who said this, but "Behold, Milcah also born children to your brother Nahor. Uz born," it's for Buzz, this is where Buzz Lightyear got his name, "Kemuel, the father of Aram, Chesed, Hazo, Pildah," all these names, right? And he says that your brother Nahor, and Nahor was introduced to us 11 chapters ago. 11 chapters later, he's being reintroduced to us because the Bible's making a transition. Abraham's life's about to end. And here we find this idea of not just the key to a successful journey, but the keys to a successful transition. Many times, the failure we have in our journey in life is not really the failure in the journey itself. It's failures in making effective transitions, whether that's a job. When you get married, you're transitioning from being single to being married. When you have children, my son just had his second child, and I'll tell you what, you may have a transition from having no child to one child. You're going to have another transition when you have a second child. Transitions are necessary in life. You transition from being a baby to an adolescent, from an adolescent to a teenager, from a teenager to an adult, from an adult to whatever it is, you keep transitioning. And the story you're about to read tells us the keys. There are things that we do that will necessitate healthy transition. In fact, I dare say that the key to successful living is healthy transitions. Now, what happens next is Sarah lived 127 years, and they were the years of his life. Sarah died. Sarah dies, and this is a major transition. This is his life partner. This is his partner in everything. Partner in crime. I mean, he sold her, amen? And used her to really make a lot of money in Egypt. And she's died. And transitions are necessary because death does happen. And when that happens, we've got to move on. Now, the verses that follow this verse is what is known in writing, ancient writing, as a chiastic. A chiastic is a method of writing something and repeating yourself multiple times to get the message, to let you understand this is the point of the story. We find this chiastic beginning in verse 4. Bury my dead. It says, I'm about to bury my wife Sarah. And then we find it in verse 6. Bury your dead. He's now talking to the Hittites who were offering the burial ground and said, now you bury your dead. And then finally in verse 6, it says, bury your dead. And then in verse 8, bury my dead. And then it says in verse 11, bury your dead. And finally, bury Sarah, your wife. It couldn't be more clear in this writing that the point is bury your dead. In other words, the message is effective transitions work well when you're good at letting things go. Many times the reason why we can't transition well is because we can't let go of things. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 23 and 2, Sarah lived 127 years. In other words, this was not just his life partner. This is one of the most valuable things or possessions or relations this man's ever had. And probably the first key to a good transition is to realize that even the most valuable things in your life have to be let go. Some of you didn't want to hear that. And by the way, I'm not saying you should let go of your husband or your wife. Amen? Please don't say that, particularly if you're guilty of sin. That's not what this message is about. But there are, so the reason why he had to let go of this wife was because she was dead. But there's certain things that die. And there's certain things that have to let go, regardless of how valuable it may be. It may be your job. It may be a friend. It may be a relationship. But it may actually be a good thing that you have to let go, but you still have to let it go because it's over. And transitions don't work. I just came back from Japan and Manila. And while I was in Manila, I saw my old office there. And it's a lot bigger, and my old home, my old jaunts, my old places where I go, my old restaurants, my grandchildren. And there's certain things that I have to let go, regardless of how valuable they are. If I'm to move on and find the next evolution of where God wants to bring me, I'm going to have to make a transition. Before leaving for Japan, I was with Pastor Mark Connor. Mark's a good friend of mine. He was the pastor, senior pastor of City Life Church in Melbourne, Australia. It's a 55-year-old church. I don't know if you understand churches that are 55 years old. And he was the senior pastor, very successful. And I remember years ago, he had asked me, Joey, I'm transitioning out. Can you work with me? Can you talk with me? Can you process it? In fact, at one point, he offered me the job and said, would you like to be the senior pastor of this church? I said, I don't think I want to live in Australia. Okay, might. And so I sat down with him, and I met with him at the hotel. This is our picture there, both of us transitioning our hairs, amen? And we were chatting. And in the conversation, I remember this picture when I was consulting with him. And he was about to step off. This is about 2.5 years ago. I know Mark because his father was one of my mentors. His father is one of the greatest theologians who's ever lived. He's got 40 books, and this man discipled me in theology, taught me how to read the Bible properly. And we were talking about his father and how transitions, leaving things behind, regardless of how valuable. And I asked Mark this question, Mark, how does it feel now that you're no longer the senior pastor, now that you no longer get all the accolades and you don't get the platform? He says, it's no problem because I've moved on. Even the most valuable things in our lives need to be let go if we're to move on and see ourselves successful in this journey of life. Now, further, it says he went in to mourn. Transitions and letting go doesn't mean that you're enjoying it. Transitions and letting go doesn't mean it's not painful. Transitions and letting go doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It's facing the fact that I need to mourn because it hurts me. It's facing the fact that I need to take some time to transition properly and acknowledge the fact that this is not an easy thing, but even though I do that, I still let go. Some people can't do that. They refuse to mourn. They insist on holding on to the thing. And as a result of that, they can't transition out of it because they can't let go. Probably, as I was thinking about how to illustrate this, I was reminded of a story of my son when this was in 2004. He was young. He was moving out of our house. This was in a Greyhound bus station in the United States. We're about to part ways. We were in Anaheim, and he was on his way to St. Louis, and he was about to launch on his own and go into ministry and study more and live his own life. And it was a moment where we're letting go of this valuable child. Our oldest child's about to leave. And I've made my peace with it. I've wept privately. Didn't show him weeks before that. And my wife has wept, but on the moment that we were about to part ways with him at the bus station, my wife, I don't know if you know this, she's not really smiling. You know what I'm saying? It's like she's smiling, but she's not smiling. It was one of those moments where she's actually mourning. Letting go. Letting go doesn't mean it's not valuable. Letting go doesn't mean it's always bad. Letting go doesn't mean that it's something that you shouldn't have, but it's something that you need to let go. And it could be a relationship. It could be a very valuable relationship. My wife was processing. In fact, my wife mourned for months. Finally, when Joseph started to stuff his bag inside the bus, my wife couldn't handle it. She had to leave and go somewhere and literally started weeping, which is really the signal of a shift. I was in the football game of my grandson, Philip, and I started watching this kid, and I thought, this kid would not even be reality today had we not made a transition. Some parents insist on holding on to their children, manipulate their children, try to keep their children, and not realize that their children want to be free, and now their children are mad at them, and they don't have a relationship. My son trusts me with his son because the relationship transition. And now my son has a second child. And I think about how successful letting go causes people to transition properly. I saw this baby just last week. He was just born 2 weeks ago. The point is, there's a mourning period. Doesn't mean that it's not painful. Letting go doesn't mean that I didn't get hurt. And some of you, it's a career. You probably won't discover the next evolution of what God wants to do for you because you wouldn't let go of something that's actually killing you already, stressing you out. And then he wept, it says. Letting go means you're human. Humans weep. Probably one of the biggest mistakes that we make as believers and Christians is we think that we're not human because we're Christian. Amen? Jesus did not come to earth to make us supernatural. Jesus came to earth to show us how to be humans who are dependent on God. Jesus wept. Jesus suffered. Jesus experienced pain. Jesus struggled with depression. The Bible says he was to the point of death and worried about the cross. Humanity doesn't mean it's a bad thing. Humanity is making a choice that regardless of how I feel emotionally, I am letting go. Because that's the way of the future. You're going to be hostage and stuck with the present or the past because you refuse to let go. And Abraham, if he were to succeed in the final stages of his journey in life, needed to understand this. Bury your dead. There's a moment of weeping. Now, next thing, what happens is Abraham rose. He rose up before the dead. In other words, this thing is dead. I've got to get up. I've got to move on. You can't move on if you're hostage by the past. You can't move on if you're holding on to something that you see as valuable. In thinking about how to illustrate this, I could only think of one picture, and that was the Kodak film. Amen? How many of you were alive when this thing was happening? Kodak film, when you're my age and you have children, you kind of until it became auto, but you had to do this thing. And you had limited pictures. In fact, if you had good pictures in those days, that meant you were rich. Because that meant you had a lot of film that you used, more than that, flash cubes, amen? And more than that, you had the money to develop all these films. But the Kodak company was massive. But it's dead. I moved on in 1998. This was my first digital camera. It was in 1998. Some of you don't realize this is very recent. 1998, the first digital camera, the Casio, was 1 megapixel. If you develop the picture, it will be a pixel. Your face will be a pixel. It won't even be pixels, it will be 1 pixel. In 2002, it evolved into 2 megapixels, and by the 2007, 2008, 2010, it was like 7, 10, 20 pixels, and now it's nonstop, because when you hold yourself hostage to the past, and refuse to let go, you're never going to be in the future. And Kodak couldn't let go. You know why they couldn't let go? Because they were developing 200 million rolls of film a year. It was high value. A high value that was dying. When you don't release something that's dying, you miss out on the opportunities of the future. You miss out on, I'm actually on transition. I transitioned out of Manila into Singapore 2.5 years ago at the age of 60. I had to let go. Something that was stable, something that was secure, something that was definitely valuable. But I will not see the evolution. When I was boarding my plane coming to Singapore this time, for the first time, I actually found myself saying, I'm going home. I've transitioned. I used to say, when I'm leaving here, going to Manila, I'm going to Manila, I'm going home. Now, I found myself, as I was boarding the passenger, I'm going home. That's just about my thought. But I'm not going to be able to go home if I hadn't realized I'm in transition. Now, notice what happens next. He says, I'm a sojourner. That's his own declaration. I'm a pilgrim. I'm not stopping. I'm not letting myself stay here. The future is before me. The past is the past, and I've got to move on. There's nothing wrong with the past. The past is to be remembered and enjoyed and to be learned from, but you can't live in the past. You have to live in the present and go move on to the future. I'm a sojourner. I'm a foreigner among you. I'm not staying here. The funny part of the story of Abraham, the interesting thing about the story is that if he didn't let go, he wouldn't get to where God's taking him. And the Bible says that Abraham was seeking a city whose foundations and architect was God. I mean, he wasn't just looking for an ordinary city. He was ready to move on. Realizing how valuable my wife is, but she's dead. Acknowledging that and mourning and understanding, yes, this happened, but it's over. The ability to discern that through times and seasons is extremely important for our lives. You're about to have a baby. Your days of enjoying one another is not going to be the same, amen? It'll be a different kind of enjoyment. Not the same, still enjoyable. Certainly not the same. Second child, third child, fourth child. Pastor Arnie just had his, my goodness, child. Amen? And it's like, it's just, his life's going to transition again. A lot of people don't realize or know that this man invented the first digital camera. That was the first digital camera. It was about 7 pounds. You could kill somebody with it. The year was 1975. The guy's name was Steve Sasson. The first guy, and actually at the side of that thing is a cassette tape. That's how they recorded the photo. That was the technology available back in then. What people don't realize is Steve actually was the head of research for digital cameras for Kodak. In other words, Kodak invented the future but refused to let go. And as a result, they're dead. Most dangerous thing you could ever do is refuse to let go and move on and live in the present. Verse 5 and 6, the Hittites answered Abraham, "Hear us, my lord." He's now negotiating and trying to buy this land to a cave to put his wife. "But bury your dead," they said, "in the choices of our tombs. None of us will withhold from you in a hinder. But bury your dead. Bury your dead." You know what that means? He said, "I'm going to bury my dead, but you know, there's a place where you bury your dead." Don't ever think that just because you're letting go of something, that that thing that died is everybody else's dead thing. A lot of people can't transition because, you know, the thing that has to die, and you think you want to dramatize it and think that everybody has the same dead thing. They're not. Their dead thing's different. Sometimes the reason why we can't let go is because we overdo this thing and we dramatize it, that my dead thing is dying and you don't understand that this dead thing is dying in me. And that's your dead thing. It's not mine. Hello. You got to deal with your own dead thing. You got to bury your own dead thing. You got to bury your own issues. If you're looking for someone to do that for you, it probably won't happen. Many times, somebody who gets hurt manipulates a husband, a wife, or anybody can do that to people. We manipulate others because of our own dead things and make people feel like our pain is their pain when it's not. My pains are my pains. I'm going to have to live with them. I'm going to have to learn how to process them. I'm going to have to face the reality that life is designed in such a way that certain things end and we need to move on. And the more we realize that, the more mature we become over time and season, the stronger we become. Now notice in verse 16, Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out of Ephron the silver, and basically he did what needed to be done. He let go what was valuable. He mourned. He wept. He acknowledged that things were changing. This is my own thing. And he paid and did what was necessary to make the shifts, the mundane, the day-to-day things that need to be done. Further, it says he weighed out the currents. I like this. It's very interesting because I was preaching a totally different message this morning, but at 7 o'clock this morning, as I read this thing all over again, I felt like the Lord was saying to me, this is a message about transitions. It deals about this idea of weights of currents. Sometimes you overdo this idea of relevance. It has to be relevant. Your message has to be relevant. You know, there's a measure of truth about being relevant. Relevant means people can relate with you. The danger with being too relevant is you become relative. Your truth is no longer the fundamental essence of truth. It becomes something that people can relate with, but it's no longer what God wants to say. And it's dangerous when you go that way. Too much emphasis on being relevant is not a good thing. It's important that you're relevant, amen? But it's not essential. To be current is different. To be current means your values are current. Your values, current means you're moving forward. It's like a river being pushed you to the future. Big difference. And that's what Abraham was doing. He's being current. That's interesting. It says among merchants. It's the world that understands what's current. And speaking of what's current, nothing could be more current than Shake Shack. How many of you have ever been to Shake Shack? Ever since Shake Shack opened in Singapore, I've attempted in the last 2 months, 3 times to line up. The line is forever, amen? I mean, there's one line that says 1 hour, there's one line that says 90 minutes, and there's one other line that says 2 hours. Okay, literally, this is a massive line. Now, I was just in Japan, and in Japan, there is no line at Shake Shack. So my wife is wondering, where is he again? He's at Shake Shack. What's even more beautiful was when I came to Manila, there is a priority lane for senior citizens at Shake Shack. Glory to God. I don't even have to be, I could be rolled in by a wheelchair. It's fantabulous is the word. And there's Pastor Steve and I, two senior citizens, buying our hamburger and our milkshake. You're probably wondering, what's the point? The point is, on my birthday, this man gave me this book. It's called Setting the Table by David Mayer, the owner of Shake Shack. He's also the owner of the company called Union Square Hospitality Group that has massive restaurants all over New York. He was so successful in the restaurant business that his net worth today is over $600 million. And Steve's son, Jonathan, who's a businessman, bought the book and said, Pastor Joe, he needs this book. I knew Jonathan when he was a little boy. And Pastor Steve gave me the book, so I'm reading. I haven't put the book down since I got it. If you read the book, it's all about transitions. All about letting go of things. One of the things he let go was Shake Shack. Because Shake Shack was an accident. He was so successful in the restaurant business that the government said, would you do this one-day thing for us where you're serving hot dogs and hamburgers and milkshakes? And he did it. It was so successful, they had no choice but to start Shake Shack. But it became so successful that it was now hurting the main core business. He had to let it go. Letting go. Sometimes we don't know how. And God teaches us how. Sometimes the very thing that's going to cause you to be successful is out there and you're not getting it because you won't let go. Sometimes the thing that you're holding on to is the very thing that's killing you. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a practice. Maybe it's a belief system. Maybe it's a hurt. Maybe it's a guilt. Maybe it's someone's infraction. Somebody hurt you before and you won't let go, and yet the future is so bright that you could be living another new life if you could just let go. Powerful stuff, isn't it? And finally, verse 19 says, Abraham buried Sarah. In other words, no one can do this but you. If you're looking to let go of something, for someone to let go, you got to process this, and no one's going to do this. You're doing it. Grow up. This picture was taken when I was 37 years old. And I was probably about 37 pounds heavier. The doctor sat me down and said, Joe, if you don't fix this, your cholesterol's over the top. Your sugar's over the top. The stress level of your job is crazy. You're a pastor and a businessman. That's ridiculous. If you don't stop this nonsense, you're going to die. No one can change that but me. My wife's not changing that. My pastor's not changing that. I'm changing that. I'm going to have to let go of the nice, greatest weakness of Joey, the chocolate chip cookie. Amen? I'm going to not let go. Every now and then, right? I mean, I had Shake Shack, hello. What are you talking about? I mean, it's the habit. It's not the cookie. It's the habit. It's turning something that's meant to be enjoyable into a lifestyle when the lifestyle is not about enjoying. The lifestyle is about life. We've made a mistake. So let me summarize the keys to a successful transition. Even the most valuable have to be let go. Don't deny the pain, but mourn. It is painful. It is sad. I'm losing something valuable. And take the time to mourn. Don't just mourn. It's okay to weep. You're human. Jesus did not come to make you supernatural. He came to make the supernatural natural in you as you depend on God. That as you depend on God, the supernatural, it just becomes something natural. I didn't have a message this morning at 7 in the morning. I came from Japan. I came from a conference in Tagaytay. I came from Manila. I came from a flight. I sat down and said, God, I don't have a message. But you do. You do. Okay. I've learned how to depend. It's part of being human. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to slip up. Jesus wept. He suffered. He got hungry. He burped probably. Let go so you can move on. It's the only way. Your dead is not everybody else's dead. That's yours. You take ownership of that. Do what's necessary to stay current. Got to move on. I was in a conference. I'm just going to do this because I just did this with the provincial pastors. They're saying, how many push-ups can you do, Pastor Joey? I said, yeah, let me try. Okay, let me try. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And let's stay current. You don't have to get old. You can stay current. You can keep moving. 1, 2, 3. Stay current. Leave the past. Move on. Let go. Only you can bury that thing. No one's going to do this for you. You're doing it. Amen? Stand on your feet as we close in the word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Just close your eyes, bow your heads. Let the Holy Spirit touch you. Thank you, Jesus. Just be still before Him. If you're here this morning and you sense that God's saying transitions need to happen, habits, relationships, practices, belief systems, bad stuff need to go. And even some of the good stuff. If that's you and you're just believing God with every eye closed, just lift up both your hands towards heaven. By faith, God, we will be a people of transition. We will be sojourners in this journey. We will see the best of what you have in store for us. Lord, we surrender even that, realizing that even the most valuable have to go. We don't deny the pain, but we do mourn losing it. It's part of being human as we weep over it. So we can move on, God, acknowledging that this dead is not others but ours. And so we choose to do what's necessary. We choose to pray that some of you, you just need to let go of the past. You're about to see your entire family going to be restored. Your entire business is going to be restored. Your entire life, some of you probably need to go home to where you are. Do it. Not because I said so, but because you hear God. And Father, only we can do this and no one else. We're choosing to trust you that the next evolution of our lives, the next level of our lives will be blessed by you. Even as you said to Abraham, surely I will bless you. Surely I will cause multiplication in your life. This is our faith, God. This is our prayer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.